When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I have to take out the garbage, get gas, do laundry.
He's got
to
shave his balls for tomorrow.
Listen, Eric, man. since the last time we talked, we've had a lot go on.
There's a bit of little bit of progression.
I need an update. Wait. Can we get an update on the podcast for everyone, for the listeners? And
he's at home, so he can't right now. So
I will. No, Eric. Maybe if you meet me on a Friday night or Saturday night somewhere, I'll tell you.
Eric, get one drink into Ty. He'll tell you the whole spiel.
You don't even need to give me dinner. Just take me out to the McDonald's or something like
that.
Hey,
yo, take me out to dinner.
I'll take you to Harbor 60.
Really?
I'll up Luke.
I took Luke there one time.
That's why I brought it up.
Oh, okay.
We'll go on a cute date instead of you.
Okay. I know.
All right, Ty, what are we talking about?
Eric, I'm in high demand these days. So if
apparently shit. For the first time in Ty's life.
Yeah, but just like the shipping crisis right now, Ty is unable to meet the demand.
And it will soon be over.
Yeah.
And welcome to episode 91. Hey, shut up.
Hey.
And welcome episode 91 of the Talking Hockey Podcast.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Talking Hockey Podcast. It's your favorite producer, Luke, here to remind you to follow and subscribe on whatever streaming service you use, leave a review on Apple, visit our website, talkinghockeypodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram at Talking Hockey for daily content. Now, let's get into today's episode with your favorite group of guys, Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin.
That out of the way. Today we got Eric back. Remember last week when Eric wasn't here, so Luke deleted the message to join the call.
Yeah,
deleted the link. So then when Eric finally got the message, like 5 or 10 minutes later, he couldn't join in. That was a good call.
That was big brain.
Big brain.
I was like, we started.
Good call though, because regardless, I wouldn't have read it because I was asleep. But
you did read it like 30 minutes into the podcast though. So it was still a good call by me to delete it.
Sure.
Yeah. Imagine the editing nightmare that would have been.
I think we would have to like restart. Then we had to like all of a sudden care about
another
person.
The point is I am back. But better than ever. I was missed.
You were, because
I did get one DM asking why I wasn't there. So clearly that means all the listeners missed me. It's a good sample.
Yeah.
And all back one and of ready them. To go.
We have one listener. Yeah. He missed you. No, I was like, honestly, there wasn't many clippable moments from last week without Eric going on rants and interrupting everyone. So
this is true.
Yeah.
Eric, you realize that Eric brings the content for.
Because Eric never shuts the fuck up. That's why.
It's my unique talent.
Yeah.
Luke, for the listeners out there.
There was no clips. Or you were too lazy to make clips?
Yeah. Both.
I feel like Ty had some good.
I think there was both.
Arizona.
I think, yeah.
I did.
Listen.
You went on rants.
I probably could go back and make some, but I don't want to do that. I didn't really want to do that last week. And Luke, yes, Ty, what were you going to ask me?
I was going to say, for the listeners, when are you going to reactivate your Instagram?
Probably soon, because it's almost Christmas.
Yeah. Why did you deactivate it again? Was it because you were applying to jobs or something?
Yeah, I was just taking up a lot of my time. And honestly, a lot of the people that post on Instagram annoy me. Like it gets like almost every story is too repetitive, right? It becomes like you can't escape.
I had to deal with like months of Luke posting the same mountains over and over again on Instagram.
Yeah.
With the same quote. Just over and over.
I don't think I ever said the same quote twice. Thanks, Martin.
But it was similar much, quotes and the same the mountains
Much
over and over.
Yeah, I think they were different mountains, but
Ty,
it looked the same.
Hear you there. Yeah, it did look the same. Okay, but this is why. So yes, I deleted it because it was taking up a lot of my time. I was looking for jobs and I just found it mentally draining. And also like, I don't have a job right now.
Am I gone? So, I'm here.
You know,
you're here.
I'm here.
I hear you. I didn't have a job, so I have like Instagram is where I came up with a lot of my plans. So I'm like, I can't afford plans right now, so I'm just gonna delete Instagram, pause Instagram, and then I just decided to go on Twitter and spend my time there instead. So didn't really help.
Luke's been tweeting some and bangers.
Is Ty's here? Because yes. I'm here. Me all and right. Mun both don't hear him.
Oh, Ty, right. It does say you're offline. We got to stop this and restart. Fuck. We'll be back. Oh,
God damn it, Ty.
Can you use the first little yeah. bit?
Yeah, you can use it. Okay. It will just show us fading out slowly, and then we'll just say, and we're back.
And we're back.
Yeah, so we're back now. And we'll get into the first topic now, which what do we want to do first? Olympics and COVID or
NHL? COVID and COVID.
We'll just do it on umbrella
terms.
I'm so
tired of talking about COVID, but it's literally the only thing to talk about.
Yeah,
it's actually crazy. Like what's going on right now? Let's start with the NHL, right? I've made the executive decision. Like okay. the amount of players that are going into protocol and being pulled mid-game even. Like yesterday, I think it was Tucker Poolman got pulled out of the Canucks game, like in the second period.
Mid-game's kind of stupid.
Mid-game is, yeah. So what I wanted to bring up is that a lot of these guys, they're all fully vaccinated. They're all, or some of them even have boosters. So I think Milan Lucic got a booster a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, a lot
ago.
Of the Calgary players apparently right? have boosters. All of Pittsburgh has boosters.
Yeah, and yet... the same restrictions, I mean, the same protocols are in place. I mean, a lot of them as well are like asymptomatic or have very, very mild symptoms, at least from the reports that we're hearing, which is great, right? Compared to when there were, you know, how many players got heart problems, you know, from last year before the vaccines, right? Or this off season before vaccines. Yeah. So like what do we do? I think honestly, if they are asymptomatic, and everyone except one NHL player is fully vaccinated, right? It's like, why are we pulling them from the game and having to shut the league down is the way I see it. Yeah. I mean, not to downplay the significance of COVID, not to downplay anybody who's been fully vaccinated and, you know, has had poor responses, but the 99% of the cases right now are very mild, especially when you look at, then taking a step back from the NHL, looking at, let's say Ontario right now, right? Case counts are back up to what, 1,500 a day, 2,000 a day almost, yeah. right? We have 80% of the population is fully vaccinated who's eligible, right? And the ICUs are not even anywhere near capacity like they were in the peaks last winter time. The vast majority of them are.
And a lot of the people that are going into ICUs aren't actually dying too, which, you know.
Yeah.
And so you still even with tube stuck down your throat sometimes and shit like that.
Yeah. But. I've been seeing a lot of the in South Africa, there's a lot of studies.
And people
coming
in
out
ICUs
about the
are unvaccinated.
Omicron, whatever it's called, variant. And
yeah,
like honestly, it's everything that's coming out of South Africa where they're doing the majority of these studies, where it's, you know, very prevalent right now, they're mild. And South Africa has actually a very low vaccination rate. Right, like
they're at like 25% or something, or even lower. Yeah,
and these people are not dying. I mean, again, I do apologize if to anyone out there who's listening and who has had negative experiences recently, who has been fully vaccinated. But like, it's looking like that this new variant actually is the one that might put us out of the pandemic. Right, you know what I'm saying? Like that's kind of what a lot of
gives everyone immunity.
And it's not severe. Everyone it's like a cold.
If you look at the UK, they're predicting every single one of their citizens will have it by January 9th. Not like every single one, but it'll essentially move its way through the entire population by the 9th. Like they're on pace for that right now because it's just spreading so rapidly. And like clearly, like you said, Ty, like vaccines aren't like, you know, they're all vaccinated. They all got boosters. They're still going out. And the thing is, even if you took a break, like what's a break going to do? I don't understand the purpose of taking a break of the season.
Because the rest of the world isn't taking a break.
Yeah,
so like
exactly.
you're still going to get it from someone somehow.
You take 2 weeks off. Your family's going to give it. Your friends are going to give it to you. It's Christmas. It's New Year's. You know, you're going to get it again. So then it's just going to come you take it 2 weeks off and it just becomes the exact same problem again.
Yeah.
Like, regardless.
I don't get the whole shutting down. I don't, I really don't.
I think players should get the option to like sit out and get paid if they want to, you know, for like safety reasons. They don't want to get it. Kids, family, them, whatever it is. I think that's like completely fair, and that should be something that's optional. I don't know if it is or not. I'm just speculating, but like you can't just like you shut down the season. You're just delaying the issue for two more weeks where they're still gonna get it.
Yeah.
Unless your bet is every one of these players will get Omicron, but by the time you restart the season, and then they probably won't get it again anymore.
You're more likely to get it at home than the NHL. Like if these NHL guys want to not get COVID, you got to put them in a bubble because it's like the kids that are still going to school that are probably the highest transfer rate of
because they're not vaccinated. At home.
So I like to me, I really don't get at all. Like this is what the vaccine was supposed to do. It's supposed to make you asymptomatic to everything and to not, or at least experience mild symptoms and not be in serious bad health. What is the point of being vaccinated if everything goes back to being shut down? Like, I just fail to understand why we keep punishing those who are vaccinated rather than why are we doing this still? It's we're 20 months into this thing. Either we continue to live with COVID and let the variants kind of do what they're going to do. Get your booster shot, get whatever. I'm fully on board with that, but I'm not on board with if you're vaccinated, you still have to stay home and do all these things unless you have it, because it's like, what the hell is the point?
It's never going to end.
COVID zero is not a possibility. It never will be.
No, it never will be again. Once this is, we're 7 billion people, it will always, variants will come up, whatever. But like going back to normal is really the only strategy.
It doesn't even matter because like you, even if you follow what people say and you take the season off, you take a 2 week break, 3 week break, a month break, you're still, it's going to happen again anyways. Yeah. You're never going to avoid this.
Unless they all go out in that, like in the first week of that break and get.
All purposely go and get Omicron. I think the thing with Omicron is that you can still get it again. Right.
So it sounds more just like the common cold or common flu than if you're vaccinated.
Omicron doesn't sound very bad
at all. Yeah,
and it's less severe too, right?
It's showing. It was everyone was scared at first, but this is showing to be less severe, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what the researchers are saying.
There was a really funny tweet.
They're saying it skeptically. Like,
they're not sure yet. It's still early on. Like. Yeah. There was a really funny tweet by Daily Faceoff, and they're like, the Flames line up on Saturday versus the Flames line up today, and they only included the same players. So it's like a full lineup, like all four lines, all three defense pairings. And then you go to the next photo, and there's like five players on it.
Yeah. Well, their whole team is like
out. The only players that aren't out are Tkachuk. And this is as of earlier today. I don't know if this has changed since. But Tkachuk, Backlund, Blake Coleman, Dylan Dubé, and Oliver Chillington.
Yeah, which so tomorrow, other than
those five players, everyone else is on COVID protocol.
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. And then you look at like the most upsetting. I mean, I guess it's not upsetting. It's just annoying. Like the Ontario, it's Toronto Raptors, Leafs have to go to 50% capacity at their games, which. It's stupid. You have to be proof of vaccination to get into these games. I don't.
Ottawa's get it. Doing it too.
Well, yeah, because I think it's on Ontario.
It doesn't matter for Ottawa. No,
but yeah, Ontario is 50% measured, right?
They're probably at 12%.
Yeah,
but Ontario's putting in measures, right? So this is the government.
I know,
not the teams.
I know, right? But like, still, I don't understand. The measures won't do shit. They're not. All they're punishing is all the people they're punishing are the people that did their job to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
It makes no sense why we continue to keep doing this stupid shit while all the data shows that it's not like the Omicron variant isn't that big of a deal.
The thing is, the Ontario government is so like
wishy-washy.
It's functional. Like they're not capable. They're incapable.
They're incapable.
And the proof of this is that they were planning on removing the vaccination requirements for restaurants and bars.
Yeah, by March, right?
By January. Yeah. Really, the 12th of January, I'm pretty sure. Don't quote me on the 12th. Sometime at the beginning of January.
I knew it was beginning of the year.
That was their plan for January.
Yeah.
Which is absurd. If you just look at, even if you looked at the situation a month ago, 2 months ago, like, it was stupid that they were going to do that in the first place. So, and like, the people that's incompetent, and that incentivizes people. I'm just going to wait until January 12th. I can wait an extra month or 2 months to not get this vaccine. And now they're like, oh, now I have to do this. But now all these people that could should have gotten their vaccine didn't, because they're like, oh, it's going to go away.
Right? And those people that haven't gotten their vaccinated by now are not going to get their vaccination just because another variant comes out. Like, they're everyone, all the people that I've seen that have gotten the vaccination are like skeptical of almost the booster, and just they're not skeptical of the booster. They're just like, when the fuck is this thing going to end, man? Like, we've been told that we have to do this for the last 2 years. At some point, people are going to stop listening to the government. And I don't know when that is, but it's going to be soon, because people are fed up. People are fed up.
No, people aren't going to, if there's more lockdowns again, like, people aren't going to deal with that
again. No.
And I was so supportive of the first one. I was even understanding of the second one.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, no, you can't do it anymore. Everyone, you have 80% of people vaccinated.
This was the whole point of the vaccination. What did you say, Mark?
This would be a fourth one.
This would be like the sixth one, man. Wow.
I don't think they're going to lock down, but they're definitely going to limit.
Yeah.
They're 100%
already in Kingston.
Yeah. Yeah. Kingston, you can't have a room more than five people or something like that. Is that what you said?
That's so bullshit, man. It's fucking Christmas. Yeah, like, let's, you can't have, who cares?
More than five. I think that's why they're doing it right now. Hopefully by Christmas.
It's not going to be over by Christmas. If you're getting together,
I don't understand, because they keep putting these restrictions in place, but they know it doesn't work.
That's the biggest, like, you've lost right there. Yeah. By not shutting down schools.
Okay. This is what I just don't understand, is like if you're, as a person, gathering around unvaccinated people for the holidays, that's on you, I guess. But even then, it's like, it's not up to the vaccinated people to protect the unvaccinated people anymore, unless they're children.
No, I agree.
Yeah, I agree too.
And now we'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
And now we'll get back into the show. But yeah, I don't get the rules. I don't get the policies. I'm not here. Yeah. Anyone that's unvaccinated, bro, I am not protecting your ass. Don't give a shit.
And it's, they don't care. The unvaccinated people don't give a shit either.
I know. They're the ones that don't give a shit. So why are we even protecting them? We're 20 months into this thing. Like, they don't care about protecting themselves. Why do I have to take that on?
They're making restrictions that they know aren't going to matter. Like, reducing capacity at the Leafs game isn't going to reduce spread.
No.
In a meaningful way.
Those people still
way.
Walk around the concourse and
they're going to.
And eat they're to get touch to a, all the same
they're
surfaces.
Still gonna go to bars. They're still gonna go to bars. They're still gonna go to restaurants. I'm still gonna meet up with friends, and it's gonna be indoors because it's freaking winter.
Yeah. So many of the rules don't make sense already. Like, think about it. You have to wear a mask when you get into the restaurant. Then you can sit down but that you can take your mask off.
But there was some ridiculous things.
I take the GO train. The GO train is empty, right? Empty. I take it and I have to wear a mask the entire time, but there's no one on it. But I can go to a restaurant that's full and sit down and not wear my – I get like, what? What are we doing here, man? Like,
and you can sit at a table with like 20 other people and no problem.
Yeah. You can sit at a table with 20 other people. But in a restaurant, I get it. You have to prove that you're vaccinated. On the train, you don't. So I get the train, you might have to wear a mask. But then why am I wearing the mask from the host's bar to like – or why am I wearing it when I have to go to the bathroom? It's like 5 steps. I'm not coughing on people.
Literally, you get up
there.
You get up from your chair, you walk 10 steps, you walk back, you wear your mask the entire time, but you sit like, back down, you take it off and you fucking...
I've always thought that policy didn't make sense since proof of vaccination was like mandatory, but now I'm like, what the fuck are we doing here, man? And sorry, this is getting off track from sports, but what I'm saying is who cares?
I have one tangential point. Well, it isn't tangential because it's talking about bars. In Kingston, they were lit. I won't name bars because just in case they were breaking rules. But in Kingston, if you had a drink in your hand, we literally had like clubs open and stuff, basically. And if you had a drink in your hand, you didn't have to have a mask on.
No, every club I've gone to in Toronto.
And they're like,
there's no masks.
People. Yeah, exactly. No masks.
Every club in Toronto.
How can you enforce that? Like at a club, no one. The normal rules of great human society aren't enforced.
No,
like harassment happens there all the time. So what do you think? People are going to care about a mask? Like
exactly. My girlfriend went to a concert the other day at a club, and she said she was the only one wearing a mask, and. She was literally like, and then we felt stupid because we were the only ones wearing masks. And I was like, you would look dumb if it's like 100 people in there and you're the only one wearing a mask. And it's useless in the first place because it's only.
Nightclubs, I think nightclubs are where normal morals and humanity like goes to die. So, I mean, I'm not expecting anyone at a nightclub to wear a mask. I just don't expect that from the people there. I don't go to a nightclub to expect good morals from people.
Hey man, I haven't been one in like a year and a
It's because you're now a man of high moral, Martin.
I mean, more so because of COVID.
No, you've changed as a man. Take the compliment.
Literally the night before COVID, we were at a club.
Hey, I was twice. Only there. I was only there for like 30 seconds.
You're right. You spent 5 hours in a row. You spent 5 hours in a cab getting lost, spending $300.
Yes.
A cab with a stranger and a random elevator. And
a random elevator.
The next day we played Catan for a bit, so that was fun.
Yeah, good times. But anyways, back
to didn't we watch – what movie did we watch?
That was awful. Wolf of Wall Street? Once Upon a Time.
I rewatched it. It's really good.
Martin,
really
you're so like dumb. It's the worst movie ever shown.
I didn't like it.
It's so good.
We need the audience to give their opinions on it. But
Once
I'm going to post
a
story.
Any good?
I'm going to post a story on this.
Just FYI, it has like an 8 or something on IMDb. So
people are pretentious and it's not even stupid.
Eric, our following is like 10 to 18 year old white boys, which is like Quentin Tarantino's like ideal target audience. I don't think you're going to get
that one's not a typical Tarantino.
Yeah, that one's actually the opposite of like what
until
he's
the end
for.
And
until
then,
the end
you know
yeah.
like you think Quentin Tarantino, you think like Django Unchained, and like
I just watched his first movie, which is Reservoir Dogs.
Pretty good.
Very good movie.
I think his best movies is Inglourious Basterds, awesome. To be honest.
Inglourious Basterds.
I think that's my favorite Tarantino.
I think they're all very
good. Django Unchained is also pretty
Django's
good.
Django's unreal.
Django's awesome.
I watched it like 3 times in theaters.
I've never watched Kill Bill.
They're not very good. They're just fucking violent as shit.
Yeah. I never liked the Kill Bills either.
Okay.
Pulp Fiction.
Anyways.
Pulp Fiction's obviously good.
Yeah. Anyways. That's going to be a good clip. Tarantino.
Anyways, other than that, there isn't. Yeah. But like, other than COVID, like I don't know about you guys, but there hasn't been much hockey stuff.
I think because a lot of games have been canceled. But I think one other one was the Olympics.
Just the odds of them going to the Olympics.
Yeah, the odds have substantially decreased. I actually have a really passionate take about the Olympics.
What one thing before you say it? Even Erik Karlsson said today he won't. He most likely won't go through the Olympics.
Yeah.
And McDavid said he was like, if there's this 3 to 6 weeks thing or 3 to 5 weeks thing, he's not going either.
Yeah, basically is what he said. He wouldn't commit.
You're stuck in China, isn't it? For like 3 to 6 weeks.
So this is my issue with the NHL not going. Or there's something that Gary Bettman said that I think got glossed over and how relevant this is to the Olympics. And that is Gary Bettman put the onus on the players now that if they want to go to the Olympics, it's up to the players to go. And I think that's huge in terms of the wording that he said, because he basically removed all guilt from them, even though they've been the ones establishing for like the last 14 years that they don't want their players at the Olympics anymore. And now he's basically been like, well, now it's the players. Like, it's the players that don't want to go. And I'm like, this is going to harm. Like, I think for the next CBA conversation, because it was so important, he's going to be like, see, like, obviously you guys don't care about going if it doesn't serve your needs or if it doesn't. And I think that's going to be a huge power move for them that won't make them look good in the next coming years from like a strategy standpoint. I think it got totally glossed over by the media, because by putting the onus on the players, he's like, I gave you guys what you wanted and you guys are the ones that decided not to go.
Yeah. And then the next time the Olympics are around, why do I bother? You know,
why do I bother anyways? You didn't want to go. And I'm like, that's a huge power move by Gary Bettman that
the media
no one talked about.
The media probably glossed over because of like intentionally, because they were worried. I am more and more convinced over this Kyle Beach thing and other stories that have come out about other events in the NHL that some reporters don't report as hard as they do because of like their fear of repercussions.
Yeah, Alan Walsh had a tweet about that like a week ago saying there have been direct threats basically against media writers for this. I forget exactly what he said.
I love that guy.
Yeah, if you listen to Elliot, like it seems like if he went harder, he would get shut out by people in hockey.
Yeah, 100%.
For sure.
Which is why I say that they're just as culpable for the Kyle Beach thing as anyone else. Because it's all about power. Yeah, the media. Because it's all comes back to power.
I mean,
they're like, oh, the guys in power in Chicago, the guy, Jonathan Toews did nothing when he knew the information. Well, media knows the information too, or they don't know the information and they're too cowardly to go get it. What's the difference? There is no difference. There's absolutely no difference.
If you don't, yeah.
There is. Do you think Jonathan Toews, as a 21-year-old captain, could go to the CEO of Chicago Blackhawks and be like, "Hey, I'm going to take us. Why are we doing it with this Kyle Beach thing? Go public with it."
I don't put much on Jonathan Toews at that. Like, he was so young.
Everyone was hating on Jonathan Toews, and still hates him and everything. I'm like, yeah, people are still going off on him. Are still cowardly. This has always been my issue with Toews'
statements since haven't been great.
No, his statements didn't help him at all. Like, that is true. It was to me. It was more to me. It was more
they
the follow up
today.
Yeah, I saw that. But my issue with Toews was much more with his response to the incident and being and like kind of hiding afterwards. I didn't like that. At the same time, the media coming at all these players for hiding things and like. I'm like, you guys do the same thing. And I've talked about this on each podcast episode that we talk about it, that they're full of shit. Media members are full of shit. Everyone in workplace that they've ever worked that has these types of assault charges or like they hear them are all full of shit. We're all full of shit.
Yep.
You won't change my mind. Every single person that out there that's hating on all these players or saying that they should have done this and being like, I would do the right thing. No, you fucking wouldn't. You wouldn't. You're a coward.
Interesting thing would be what media members get invited to the Board of Governors meeting, the annual Board of Governors meeting, and what media members do not. It's a very interesting thing.
Whoever Rick West said doesn't get that invite, essentially.
No, everyone knew it on that conference call that Rick West had was getting absolutely ignored.
Shafted.
Yeah. Everyone knew that. And like they all stood up from there, but they're not now standing up about other things. Only people that are still doing it, Rick West had Katie Strang and like a couple other members, but most of them are not doing it.
If they moved off, they wouldn't have their sources. basically what I understand the hockey world to be.
If Elliot Friedman started calling people out, nobody talking to him anymore.
You know what would happen if you started calling people out? This is what would happen. Elliot Friedman would find sources that are direct sources, because you wouldn't be able to go to the people that are covering it up anymore. You'd have to go to the person direct source that offers way better and could out more people. You would actually, by actually going harder, you would change the power dynamic of the league. Because the person that is getting the story covered up would be able to say, I know who covered the story up. And that is what actually would create change in the league. So don't tell me that these guys are too cowardly or that they're worried about getting written off, because the only way the power changes is if the media does their job.
So they are too cowardly.
They are 100%. Yeah. Dig for the correct source, the source that is actually the person that is the victim or whatever, or is the one dealing with it, who can actually give you the evidence that they did the right things, that the people at the that covered up, because that way you don't need lawyers involved. That way you skip the whole investigation process if you go directly to the correct source.
There's a lot of lawyers involved in journalism.
I know. It's a much more convoluted process when I just laid out, but that's the only way you actually create top-down change is by going after the people at the top. Yeah. Which is what they're too scared to do.
Yes.
So if you want more access, it would take like 5-10 years, whatever. But you have to throw yourself under the bus for a while and take the raw end of the stick for a bit if you want to actually change the league. And not I would react so poorly if the association that I was covering basically was threatening me to be like, we're not covering. I would be pissed. I would have no respect for that league. I would have no respect for
Elliot every time. Like every time on the pod, he's like, if I asked this or like if I did this, I'd get shut out. And it's like, and he's like sad about it, but he's like, oh, that's chill. That's chill. He always is like, that's chill. And it's like,
Elliot Friedman has the power. Elliot Friedman has the power to be shut out and especially not be shut out.
Yes.
Exactly. Where he's at. I get it almost 100%. More with smaller reporters. Elliot's too big to fail.
Yeah,
too big to fail.
He is.
Elliot's too big.
He
to
has
fail.
So much respect from people.
Guys that are just too big to fail.
Pretty much just Elliot, man.
Pierre LeBron,
Pierre LeBron, maybe. Frank Saravalli, maybe. Like some of those guys are.
Saravalli now that he's with NHL is obviously coming up. Like the one he's with now, Faceoff is coming up, but now he's not with a main one. Mm-hmm. You could probably get shut out pretty quick.
Hey, ESPN is going to have a lot of power now.
ESPN.
Their guys, Greg Wojcicki.
Huge problem with NBC was they had fucking no power, bro. Like, they had nobody.
ESPN has power.
Yes.
So does TNT.
Yeah.
They'll have power. A lot.
Yes.
Yeah. This is kind of like a sidetrack from what we were talking about before.
Oh, can we talk about –
I don't think we're done with the Olympics.
We're not talking about the Olympics.
We're not done with the Olympics.
Put odds on if they're going.
I'm basically saying
10%. There's I just don't think they're going.
I'm putting it at zero.
Which is so unfortunate.
To be honest, I'm putting it at honestly zero.
I want to have some hope, but I'm putting it at 10. I'll put it at 10 with Eric.
I just don't see it happening. The owners care too much. The players are scared of the owners, and the players want to make a salary, and players don't want to sit out.
So you guys were talking about a shutdown earlier. I heard that they were like doing a little shutdown for the Olympics anyways. Mm-hmm. And if there are players still there to play, like if they don't go, that is still happening.
Yeah. So they got a 3-week vacation.
They get that 3-week shut off anyways. Like,
yeah, but that 3-week shut off is in like 3 weeks or four, like in a month and a bit.
Yeah. So coast into that with COVID cases the way they are and.
They can't though because all the games are suspended because every single player has
what they could do though honestly they could use that 3 weeks of no time to schedule some of those games.
Yes
that might be a good thing to do. Again, like the whole issue with not going to the Olympics isn't, I don't think, COVID. It's potentially having to stay in China for 3 to 5 weeks, which I don't I don't understand how that's a thing.
If they can get that addressed with the IHF or
let me
no, 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 Olympic committee. No, no, no. I heard a story like about an Olympic guy that went there to train or something on the hill or something that like he would be going down. And they had to, it was like a Polish guy, and they literally had to smuggle him out of the country because he got COVID.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like the Olympic committee has to do something about that because it's not just NHL players that impact.
to the government of China? Like, what do you want them to say?
But I mean, but the Olympic committee has a lot more power than like,
yeah, not against the government of China, because no,
but the difference is in their contracts with like Beijing or where, you know, where the Olympics and everything like that, all the contracts that they sign, the Olympics have very set criteria on what they can and can't do. So I know they can't implement,
this is true,
like they can't necessarily influence immigration policy and shit like that,
Eric,
but there are like very defined rules. So I wonder if the Olympic, because from like a logicalist perspective, it doesn't make any sense for China to enforce that anyway.
Lots of contracts, it may not be related exactly to this, have like acts of God clauses in their contracts. And
okay, this is what I don't understand.
That counts.
This is what I don't understand about the whole China thing. Why the fuck is the timeline 3 to 5 weeks when it's always been 2 weeks? And now that we have rapid antigen tests,
exactly, that's what I'm saying. It
now that we have rapid antigen tests, it should be 3 days max. And then three days.
China should want people to come.
Eric, let me finish my talk. All right, you're not going to talk for a bit while I go over this.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I don't understand. It should be 3 days and 15 minutes. That's how long players should be stranded there after the Olympics, because 15 minutes is all you need for a rapid antigen test. So 3 days, whatever, how long it takes for it to potentially be in your body, 15 minutes.
I think it's 12.
Whatever, 12 minutes. I did one and it took like five. So I don't even think it's 12. That's how long players should be stranded there for. If they are stranded there for that long, this is what I don't understand too. Every NHL team has a private jet or a chartered plane. Send it to China, pack up your boys, bring them home. That's it. That's all you have to do. That's all you have to do for the NHL.
I agree.
That's all the teams, all the countries have to do.
That's what I was going to say.
I concur. That's,
why is it this complicated?
Say. It doesn't impact China.
I agree.
Doesn't impact China at all. Who gives a shit? Bring them on a chartered plane.
China doesn't even post their cases correctly.
That way you're not targeting the common person. You're not targeting any other teams. You're just bringing home your people. You're bringing home every Canadian athlete, put them on a jet, put them in Toronto, and then put them in like a hotel.
They should be able to say that. Like, just say, common sense.
Get out. Yeah,
this is not complicated at all. This is like, why are they even like leaving Olympic Village? Any of these athletes either, like, that they should only be going to their resort or wherever they are to perform the thing, and then that's it. There should be no fan interaction. There probably won't be fans in the stands there anyways. Like, I don't understand why this is even a conversation in terms of the players have to stay there 3 to 5 weeks. That should not even be up for discussion. I think most of that is political, because a lot of countries aren't sending their bureaucrats and people over because they're like, no, fuck China. Like, there's some protests out there, but also they don't want their people there stuck for COVID. So I think a lot of it is, let's create up stupid policies that no one even wants to come to this thing. But yeah, I'm like, there is no reason that there's no simple solution for this. When I can just come home from anywhere in the world right now and quarantine for 3 days or whatever, get a rapid antigen test, and then be done with it.
That's not 100% true. I've seen some stuff like people have gotten trapped in hotels lately in Canada, coming back from countries if they had like a false negative and stuff.
Well,
and it's fucking shit. It's shit being trapped in these hotels. But
I just don't understand how this is complicated. It's really not. It's not. It shouldn't be. Get over yourself, China. Anyways, I'm done. Eric, you can talk.
Luke, if you go to China, you're gonna get kidnapped at this point.
I've been to China, bro. They definitely will know the next time. I have my fingerprints, man. I'm pretty sure China has my fingerprints more than Canada does. Because whenever you fly through, I was there for a layover, and it was like 16 hours, so I had to leave the airport. And when you do it, you have to do your thumbprint for sure. I don't know if I had to give my whole finger, like all my fingers.
What? They definitely it was ridiculous. China is very hardcore. Let's not get into this. Hardcore on tracking.
I just have one.
They said, I told them my layover was 16 hours. They said, if you're here for 17 hours, you're going back to Canada. And I was like, what? I was like, they're like, if you're lying, then we're going to send you back to Canada. And I said, I literally have my tomorrow's flight ticket.
I don't want to be here anymore.
I have my flight ticket tomorrow to Japan. And they're like, I don't believe you. And I was like, well, I can't connect to your fucking Wi-Fi because it's all private here. So I don't know what you want me to do in terms of showing you this. Oh, you should have printed out beforehand. I did. This is right here. I'm sorry I didn't get the people in Canada to print out both tickets for me. I didn't know that it was going to have to be like strip search and fingerprints and all this shit. They're very
hardcore on tracking shit there, man. They're very hardcore. Anyways, I wanted to talk about the thing Martin sent, which was the contenders or pretenders list.
Okay.
From
the score?
Okay. Yeah, from the score. So I pulled it up on my phone here. Basically, they looked at six teams. They included the Rangers, Leafs, Ducks, Oilers, and Wild and Knights.
Yep.
And they basically just called them, you know, contender, pretender. It was by these two writers, John Matisse and Josh Wegman. Some interesting takes on here and also some interesting comparisons. For example, comparing the Leafs and Vegas with Anaheim. As if those are very at all comparable teams. They ignored cup favorites like Tampa Bay, Carolina, and Colorado. And
I just think they put the fringe teams.
Yes.
Classifying Toronto as a fringe team is weird.
I mean, even if you do want to consider them a fringe team, it's hard to like take this article seriously when they put Anaheim in there. Like, I get Anaheim's been pretty good so far, but they're not the Knights or the Leafs.
Anaheim's who this article is designed for, but then they put the Leafs.
Exactly.
The Leafs are the ones they should
put in. Exactly. Yeah. Also, they didn't mention like Florida, the Panthers anywhere in here.
I feel like they just put the Leafs in just to get people to read.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. I think you're right, Mark. And now they win because we're talking about it.
Yes.
Like Nashville would have been a better team to put there. San Jose would have been a good team to put on the fringe.
And then they ignored like the Flames. They ignored they ignored the Flames. They ignored the Panthers, which I'm assuming they're putting them in the favorites. But I'm just like, why are the Leafs and Knights in here, but the Flames aren't? Like, it's
the Flames and St. Louis are much more pretenders than
The list doesn't make any sense. But anyways, moving past the fact that the list doesn't make any sense, they went over the Rangers. both of them called them pretenders for, you know, good reasons. Josh Wegman actually made a good argument, which is that the club ranks 25th and the Rangers rank 25th and 5-on-5 expected goals for.
Just really yep. quick, to compliment the article, they put Edmonton in, and that's a good one.
That is a good one. Them and the Wild are good. Good choices to put in here. I think the Rangers are too, because at the end of the day, like, they're doing very well. They're like 17-8 or something like that. Like, they've been doing very, very well. But again, like the article says, they rank 25th in 5-on-5 expected goals for percentage. So they're 25th in the league in driving play, and they're just getting insanely good goaltending and some pretty freaking good shooting from guys like Chris Kreider, who's lighting it up right now. And
Adam Fox is sick.
And Adam Fox is obviously sick, but like, Adam Fox is going to be sick regardless. They also have, you know, he says they also have the fourth youngest roster. I don't think that's like a huge issue for them. I think it's literally just they're not they're a good team, but they're not a great team.
Yeah.
So that was the first one. The Leafs, they called them a pretender because
one of them did, one of them didn't.
Yeah, one of them did. Sorry, one of them did because they don't like the pairing of Justin Hall and Jake Muzzin. And that's literally the only reason here. So they don't like one of their pairings.
Yeah, that was like the only weakness that they put in the Leafs. And I'm like, for under the pretender. And I'm like,
So what? Does that mean the Leafs just have to make a big trade for like?
Yeah, apparently they just need to like change that pairing and suddenly they go off this list. I don't really get it. Also, the Muzzin, like, I get Muzzin Hall haven't been good this year, but historically speaking, outside this 20-something game run, they've actually been a very good pair together. So, like, I'm not sure why you would use them as the example of, like, you know, I think there are other reasons why you can say that they're not going to win a playoff series this year, which is the fact that they are the Leafs, and they're going to end up having to play one of Tampa, Florida, or Boston. And right now, I think they're on pace to play
Playing Tampa. Boston's not such a bad thing.
Yeah, it's still not ideal. And I think right now they're in position to play Tampa in the first round. So back-to-back cup winners in the first round.
Why are they playing Tampa?
Aren't they in third, Tampa's in second? Or is it switched?
Leafs are first now. Leafs, Florida,
no,
Tampa.
No, but in points percentage. Points percentage, not total points. Points percentage?
I think we're behind them, yeah.
Yeah. So points, and that's what I'm looking at that, not totally.
I think Florida, Tampa, and Toronto are going to be flipping positions all.
Yeah, they're going to keep moving, but as of right now, they're probably going to end up. I don't think they're going to be first, so they're probably going to end up playing Tampa or Florida, regardless. I'd rather play Florida, but you know, doesn't really matter. Then they looked at Anaheim. Both of them called them pretenders. So again, to be fair to them, you know, there's no reason for the Ducks to really be a contender right now. They're missing a lot of pieces. They're not that good of a team. They're just getting insane production from guys like Troy Terry right now, and Getzlaff's been great, and a couple other things, but they're not there. Edmonton is, I think it's fair to call them a pretender or a contender. I think
the 6-game losing streak is definitely
7 games.
Seven games.
Or maybe even 8 games.
Who's lost seven?
Edmonton's lost 7 games in a row. And someone threw a jersey on the ice last night.
Which I think is a little ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. The jersey on the ice is a little much.
I bet you it was, dude, there were so many Leafs fans out there. I bet you it was a Leaf fan that just brought an Oilers.
Just a troll.
That's my guess. I would honestly.
I'd respect that if that's true. That'd be funny. Because that got a lot of news. Yeah. That got a lot of news. So
that's my guess. I don't think it's an Edmonton fan.
There's been like stories about whether jersey throwing makes the team better. I mean, in Montreal's case, obviously did not.
this is how I think about it. There's two jerseys in Edmonton that are even worth owning. Draisaitl and McDavid. Why the fuck would you buy anyone else on the team other than that?
I mean,
no one would throw either of those jerseys, I think. No, I don't think anyone would throw those jerseys. The Leafs have like 7 people you could possibly own. I don't, like, more of the time I want to know whose name was thrown, you know, because I think that shows more indication like,
did they throw a Zach Cassian jersey or did they throw a McDavid jersey?
Like, bro, Zach Cassian jersey, $5.
Did they throw a real jersey or did they throw a fake jersey?
Yeah,
even
that's
worse. What if it's like a $30 thing from freaking
they throw a personalized one? It had their own last name on it.
Just for the shits?
Yeah. To make their own last name on it. To make literally every article.
Like, to be like, that was me. I did that.
I do think it was a Leafs fan, just seeing how many Leafs fans were there. And I don't think.
Martin, let's go to a Leafs game and buy like a really cheap Leafs jersey and throw it onto the ice. We'll get close tickets. We'll do it. That'll be so awesome.
It would be awesome.
Yeah, the tickets are definitely going to be worth more than the jersey.
Yeah, film it on Talking Hockey. Do it live.
You're spending $500 for a $30 gig. Right? If you're buying the tickets close enough that you can do that.
We're going to drop like $1,000.
What you should do is go to the Ottawa Senators game and throw the jersey. Then you're spending like $40.
No, go to the Ottawa Senators Leafs game and throw the jersey.
That's what I just fucking said, you moron.
Oh, I didn't hear the Leafs part. I just heard Ottawa Senators.
Yeah, go to an Ottawa Senators game. Like, go to a Leafs Ottawa game in Ottawa. Throw a Leafs jersey. That way you're spending $40 on a $30 gig because the tickets only cost $5 each. So that's all you need.
Yeah, that's a good point. Let's do it, Martin. We got a much better idea. Point. Okay. Anyways, let's keep going through this list here.
Back over 50%.
I think on this list, the biggest pretenders are Oilers, because the Oilers are literally carried.
Oilers and Rangers, in my opinion. And I don't even consider Anaheim a pretender. I don't think they're even in consideration, really.
You don't think they're going to make the playoffs?
I mean, I think they're going to make the playoffs. I don't think they're going to be like this team is, you know, close to being a contender. Like, I don't think they're anywhere near that. I think they're going to slip in, lose in the first round.
Is this contender for a Stanley Cup or is this contender for the Stanley Cup? Yeah.
Stanley Cup. The Oilers have a fundamental problem, which is they only have 4 good players on their team. And that's it, basically.
Yeah.
The Oilers, this is like the perfect analysis for, I think, the Oilers. The Oilers are 2 yachts. like, you know, great in their own right. They look really sexy, but they're trying to pull like all the garbage in the ocean by themselves, and they just can't do it.
Yeah.
And it's, you need like much more power than that.
And people put the blame on the yacht when it's really, really not.
It's the captain of the yacht. It's the people. No, it's the government. It's the government saying this is a really good idea. We're going to get yachts to go pull all the Texas, the garbage the size of Texas in the ocean around. Honestly, and it's Joe Biden in the office being like, that's a great idea. Joe Biden in this case is Holland.
Eric, did you just – yeah, it is Holland. And Eric, did you just post a story about something about saying – asking us if Holland's been good at all lately or at all.
So my whole point was, okay, so I posted a story basically showing that over the last however many, I think 5 or 6 years of Edmonton's existence, they've actually gone worse, consistently worse with
those Holland. Not, I think Holland should have been fired his first year, because if you can't be very successful with that team, you're not a very good GM.
Because it's the easiest part of the job.
Yeah, you're filling in the bottom positions.
Like, and every team every year gets guys to do that. Tampa every single year. The Leafs every single year with Bunting and Kasha. And
so it's something wrong. I think it. I do think there is something wrong. I listened to Marcus Foligno on the Ray and Dregs podcast, and obviously Marcus Foligno is a member of the. Minnesota team
Wild,
and he is doing quite well, and he hasn't historically been like, he's been a formidable bottom six guy, but like, not a huge bottom.
He's never been a top six guy.
This guy this year, he's doing quite well. He put it all up to line chemistry basically, and line chemistry breaks down back into the room. I think there's something fundamentally wrong in that Oilers room, and they don't give a fucking shit or something.
And that was what Holland and was supposed to come in and fix.
And he didn't, because I don't think that Detroit room had a very good room by the end.
And yeah, probably that was not.
Holland's fault.
I mean, the thing is, losing creates a bad culture or a bad energy, whatever you want to call it.
I mean, that's kind of bullshit. Like in my mind, that's because like what NHL player is like, this is acceptable, like losing. Because like if I'm in a fucking league, losing sucks.
No. But I don't think it's so much losing though. I think it's exactly what you said, chemistry, right?
Yes.
It creates more conflict, more arguments. Clearly, the players must know that like they're all. Like they're not, it's Draisaitl and McDavid than everyone else. Like the player, and you know, and you add a couple other guys in there, Hyman, Puljujarvi, they're doing fine. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins doing fine, but like it's that rest of the roster that just isn't like living up to standard. And I think like they know that. And I don't know, there's been a bit of changeover, but there hasn't been a ton of changeover on the roster where you're like, okay, they've completely changed their entire bottom six and none of those guys are there anymore and they brought in new guys. But there's something wrong because every year they've gotten worse in their bottom six without McDavid. And so my poll was, has Holland done a good job? And every Oilers fan, I said, everyone said, all of us said it at the time. You don't want Holland. Holland isn't the guy. He's past it. We all said it, but every single Oilers fan, oh no, Holland's going to do a good job. He's going to study the shit. He knows how to build a competitive team and all this other.
But everyone believes that about their own team. Like Leafs fans believed it with Babcock. I think we all just have that kind of blind hope and blind faith. What I will say when it comes to losing, I don't think anyone.
I wouldn't say that because if the Leafs ever brought in Holland, I would not be happy.
Well, I don't. Yeah, I would agree. But
it would have been the same 3 years ago.
Babcock was supposed to be a good coach. Like, I feel like Babcock coming to the Leafs was the worst thing ever for Babcock because he was under the microscope more than ever. His tactics were under the microscope. And it was also in a time when the NHL was changing away from a person like Babcock.
Yeah. So
his coming to the Leafs was not an ideal time.
I don't think Dubas would have made that move either if it was Dubas. I don't think so. But I think going back to the comment about losing, I don't think hockey players like to lose or ever want to lose. I don't think it's good for culture. Yeah. But I will say that losing destroys your love of the game. And that is what is bigger. They look at Rasmus Dahlin, look at Jack Eichel, look at Taylor Hall, common denominator.
I'm going to argue like, that nothing when I'm getting paid, even like the lowest possible amount.
This is going to be so bullshit. Play, the next words out of your mouth are going to be so bullshit.
Playing the NHL, I would never lose the love of the game. Because if I was getting played the game that I loved, I wouldn't lose.
No, because you don't love it at that point anymore. It's a job.
I'm huge on this. So many people out there say that you should combine your work and your passion. I almost think that you should never do that. I think when you get paid for your passion, it destroys the passion.
I think you have to like it. Stressful. I don't think you should love it.
Yeah.
Because like I like sales. I don't love sales.
Yeah.
Like sales though. Like,
no, but even the same thing. Sales. Like if I had to, like my, you know, my favorite port to play is soccer, right? Actually, yeah. Spike ball. I'm going to say spike ball.
Yeah.
Besides
spike
ball. Besides that, you know, ever since I was a kid, I soccer has been always my most fun thing to play. You know, you play it year round, whatever, regardless, right? Like, if I had to do, I remember when we played like rep and all star and all that kind of stuff. I still love soccer, but it's not the same. You're playing in a rigid system. You're not just like, if it was just house league fun and I can just go and wreck all these fucking idiot kids who suck, then it'd be fun. I can do it on a nightly basis, but it is kind of fun.
Huh? Not year after year.
Sure. But exactly. That's why you just made my point. You just made my point. If you're doing it night after night, and then you're also doing it in a rigid system where like you have this very specific role and you can only play within that role. And these are the best hockey players in the world that all throughout juniors in their entire lives, they're the best kids on their teams. And now they're third or fourth line bums who like have to, not bums. That's sort of rude, but whatever, you know, you know what I mean? They're playing 10 minutes a night and they have to be very rigid. They have to do exactly this. They have to have their diets right. Like, doesn't become fun anymore. Those fourth line guys
have to have their diets right. Like, do you think fucking Cal Clutterbuck cares about he's fucking eating?
I mean, maybe he needs to just stay in the league, you know what maybe. I mean, like,
I don't know. I don't know about that.
They definitely have stricter diets than me eating my Subway cookies just now.
I think rich people have their own problems, and I may not be really sympathetic towards them, but I hate people that aren't empathetic towards them. Like, to me,
they would say the same thing about us, man. If you go to freaking India and they're making $2 a day, they're gonna look at us and be like, "What are you complaining about?"
Yeah,
we look at them and say, "What are you complaining about?" They look at billionaires and go, "What are you complaining?" Goes on.
I am not. This is really important to distinguish. I think I am I am not sympathetic and never will be sympathetic towards rich people, but I can be empathetic towards them. I think there's a huge difference between those two things. Like, I'm like, bro, I don't care about hearing you fucking cry or anything like that. I'm not going to be sympathetic towards
those
that.
Those aren't synonyms, so yes.
But I will understand that you do have struggles that I don't struggle with because you're rich. That's
why Martin went to do a BA in law for this exact moment in time. It's the first time he's actually used these skills. And now look at that smile on his face.
Sleazebag Martin, the lawyer.
but getting back to the topic at hand, which was Edmonton. They're not
third,
contenders.
They
can't be a contender with two guys.
Line sex.
Yeah. Please. And their defense isn't very good either. Their goaltending is Mike Smith and Koskinen. Mike Smith has come back down to earth, which we all said he would. And surprisingly, Ken Holland didn't agree, which is that's surprising. Wild. Not good. Him and Cody Ceci are not doing well.
Wait, it was foreseeable he wouldn't do good?
Yeah, I know, right? That was really surprising stuff. I never could have imagined it.
They didn't get him for his skill. They got him for his leadership.
Yeah, he has great leadership. Definitely
he's
shown
led
through
them to
Kyle
seven,
Beach, the Kyle
he's
Beach
led them to seven losses in a row.
Leadership.
Yeah.
He's led them to seven losses in a row. He's amazing. I'm kidding. Duncan Keith's great. Don't hate on me.
I don't think there's anything else to talk about, is there?
Wait, let's go over the rest of this list. The Wild. Martin, do you think they're a contender?
Yeah. I like the Wild.
I do. I think they're a
contender. Yeah, I think they are too. I mean, they have a really good forward group, really great defense group. Mm-hmm. Talbot is, you know, he's playing solid. He's doing fine. He's not great, but he's not tearing them down in any way. And then they still have cap room to make additions late on, too. And they have the best prospect pool in the NHL, or second best, top three, whatever, however you want to rank them. And they can make some serious moves to bring in guys on free agency deals. Like Thomas Hertl is seriously being considered, apparently, by a bunch of teams right now as an option. He would be sick on the Wild. That gives them a legit, like, top center with Eriksson.
I heard he's Tampa's number one pick.
Yeah, if Tampa gets him, I'm going to fucking lose it, man. That would just be so ridiculous. Oh my God. I luckily think that they can't fit him in, or they don't have the prospects for him. So I'm hoping, like, there's so many more. Tampa doesn't have anything.
Minnesota kind of has to go all in this year, too.
Exactly, because they're about to lose $17 million in cap space. So they better. Yeah. They better start going.
Like, this is their year.
Yeah, literally.
Maybe they can trade those contracts to Arizona, though. Actually, no. Can you trade buyout contracts? You can, right? How would that work?
You can't trade buyout contracts. No. Once it's bought out, it's on your cap.
And you only have two per however brutal. Long the buyout is.
The last team was Vegas, and the one writer, whatever his name is, John Matisse, called Vegas a pretender. I think that's an interesting take. His argument was essentially they don't have good special teams, and they're going to have to make moves to make room for Eichel. And he's not sure how he's going to adjust like midseason to not having played.
That guy's an idiot. That's all I want to say about that man.
You said both of them are idiots. You said Wegman was an idiot for the Leafs take.
Well,
so
they're all idiots.
I don't think the Golden.
Since the Score got rid of their hockey podcast, I have disliked the Score. I uninvested in them.
He sold the shares. He's no longer an owner.
I don't know. I think he's got some pretty good points about Vegas being. I think Vegas has had a lot of injuries this year. Max Pacioretty's back, and he's been on fire since he's been back. I do think the Eichel situation does play a key role in like who gets moved.
But you're bringing in Eichel,
dude. Eichel hasn't been on the ice for 2 years.
Who cares? Eichel is sick.
I think he's going
to
be great.
Eichel's going to be great. And once he comes into Vegas, you want to talk about going from losing culture to winning culture? Holy fuck. You're going from playing with
they won't have to add anyone
playing
at the trade
Alex Pietrangelo, Mark Stone, Pacioretty. You're going to playing from losers to winners in Eichel's situation.
I agree. I think the Vegas Golden Knights have to be considered contenders. Mm-hmm. I think they just always have their shit together. Mm-hmm. And this is the same team. Some guys are a little bit worse, but they're going to get healthy again. Eichel's going to come in.
Pacioretty has 19 points in 11 games, man.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Pacioretty has 19 points in 11 games.
Like, I know. He's been freaking, oh my God.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be fine. I think Pietrangelo needs to step it up again. He's been a serious issue for them, but outside of that, I think it's still their time.
He has. It looks
special
like
teams will rebound. They just had a lot of injuries.
Oh yeah, in the last four games, Pet has 6 points.
There you go.
That's good.
That was the only thing I wanted to talk about. And then there was also Arizona Coyotes are apparently gauging the market for Chychrun. So the one remaining good piece on that team, essentially, they're also thinking of trading along with Clayton Keller.
Which kind of makes sense because how old is Chychrun? 23?
I think he's 23.
So
which doesn't really make much sense to me. Even if they go through a rebuild of 3 or 4 years, he's still going to be 26. Or he's still going to be 26, 27. He's 23 right now.
Yeah. Do you think a 23-year-old wants to chill in, I guess, Arizona's a pretty sick place to live?
Yeah, but I'd live in it. I'll take the losing, live in Arizona, and get paid $6 million a year to just,
especially if the team's on the right track. But I would want out of that fucking place because they don't have an arena to play in.
They might not have an arena next year.
Not have an arena by the,
Yeah. All right. Anyways, that's it for the podcast, I think. I'll let Luke talk us out.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I know it's If you got this far, honestly, thank you. It's been three different recordings pieced together. Ty was here at the start. He's very sad that he wasn't able to talk about it. I think he really wants to talk about the World Juniors. We'll talk about that next week when teams are actually like decided, I think, and cuts have been fully made, or at least like the preliminary round has been done.
Is that what you meant by a big debate? Because I was like,
I think that's what he was talking about. Yeah. But I think he also was really interested in talking about the COVID protocol stuff too. Okay. So yeah, thank you everyone so much. Make sure to check us out on Instagram and follow us for clips, because I think there's going to be quite a few clips from this week. I think there was some heated conversation, especially Quentin Tarantino stuff. So thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you next week.
We love you.
Thank you everyone for tuning into this week's episode. We love and appreciate each listener that sticks around to the end. With that comes reminders to leave a review, press follow on those streaming platforms, and make sure to head over to Instagram to follow Talking Hockey. We're on the road to 30K, and we can't wait to continue to build our audience. Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin signing off. We'll see you all next week.